Blog Talk Radio.
Forgot to tell you that you were listening to the Broussard brothers, because the young man on the rub board happens to be the young man on the accordion's brother. How about a nice hand for the rub board man, Gerald Broussard?
Hello, Zadie Quincy Bresha.
Sunday, March 2nd, 2014, and today in Louisiana, Mardi Gras is going on. And we had the chance to, this Saturday, we had a chance to visit, talk with a restaurant, the Parline Connection, and we talked to Harold Tresent of the Parline. I mean, this is the time when people are going down there. Beads are going everywhere. There's parades. There's floats. We had to, you know, Flavor Living had to go down there to find out about some food. Because the Mardi Gras tradition is about also good Creole Cajun food. And we talked to Harold Tresent. He is like the consultant family consultant for the Parline Connection. And here's our interview. You know, welcome, enjoy, relax. And here's our Mardi Gras special.
Oh, welcome to Flavor Living Radio. Today, you're not going to believe it. Everybody knows this is Mardi Gras time. You know, it's going on as we speak. Today is Saturday, and in February, and we visited, and we have on our show today, Harold Tresent. He's from the Parline Connection, a restaurant in New Orleans. So, welcome to the Flavor Living. Hello, Harold. How are you doing?
Thank you, Brian. I'm fine. Good to hear from you again.
Yes. Wow. It's Mardi Gras.
Yes, it is.
It is Mardi Gras time now.
Yes, it is. And it's music everywhere. People are cheerful, smiling, even waving from cars and waving from their houses. It's just a beautiful feeling of conviviality. What? It's an overflowing of just enjoyment.
Just beads everywhere, just food, culture, everything.
That's right. And everyone is here, have to be here. And the natives that have been away, they have to be back in town. So it's a pretty upbeat atmosphere.
Wow. Now, you're the service and hospitality consultant for the Parline Connection.
Correct.
But because we have to talk about this restaurant that is well known in Louisiana, but you have to kind of tell us about the new. This whole Mardi Gras and the New Orleans culture, tell us basically, we've all heard of the word Creole and Cajun. Can you tell us what's the difference between Creole and Cajun?
Absolutely. So first I want to preface it by saying even though I consulted, I'm an extended family of a Parline Connection because I was involved with them when they first opened almost 25 years ago. Next will be 25, so we're family.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Mardi Gras, I'm sorry, Petra.
Oh, no. Come on.
Yeah, I just wanted to preface before I go on. Because consultant sounds a bit distant, and you're into the city of family.
Yes. So I will say service hospitality family consultant.
There you go.
No?
Okay. Yeah. But Mardi Gras is a Catholic festival that extended over from France, and Mardi Gras represents, it's called Fat Tuesday, and it represents the day before the Lenten season, which Wednesday is called Ash Wednesday when Francis met with Jesus' daughter.
Mm.
It's the day that the people, the Catholics of the church, and have the ashes and the sign of the cross on their head as a sign on their head forehead as a sign of repentance and as a sign of purging, because the Lenten season, the 40 days before Easter, is the Lenten season. It's a time of fasting and meditation. It's
wow.
Just keep cleansing yourself. It's like a spiritual spring cleaning and
uh-huh.
cleaning. And Mardi Gras, which means the Fat Tuesday, which is the day that so people sort of let it all hang out because they know they're going to have to fast.
Okay.
And so they're just getting out their inhibitions because they know they're going to have to live right for 40 days.
Wow. So on the, on that Sunday, that's where everybody's like, hey, this is, we let everything go.
Yeah, on the Tuesday itself, Mardi Gras.
Yeah,
Tuesday. But the Mardi Gras is a season, and lasts at least 3 weeks before Mardi Gras Day.
Wow, I did not know that.
And there's a parade every night for the first 2 weeks. And then the weekend of Mardi Gras, there's several parades per night, and today's in the morning, there were four parades, last night, for example. And today there's four this afternoon. Today and tomorrow, there are parades all up and down, afternoon and evening. Mardi Gras Day, there might be about four or five parades
right.
in New Orleans itself.
Now, I know, being on Flavor Living, food, and I heard that each parade has its own meal.
Yes, they're called crews, what's called KREW.
Yes.
And those groups, each one, many of them, they name themselves after mythological characters, such as Bacchus, crew of Bacchus, the crew of Endymion, the crew of Orpheus.
But they have that word crew in front there.
Crew, that's right. It's kind of like, if we put it in modern terms, the young people say like Matasi.
Okay.
Or basically organization is like
that. Okay, alright. Alright, okay. That's good. Wow. Now, most of the people that are a part of the parade, are they both Creole and Cajun who put it on together?
It is the various organizations that put them on. For example, the Zulu, which is the sole Cajun parade, as the Black Creole parade. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
It came out of the Zulu Benevolent Social Club, and if I recall correctly, the Zulu was one of the clubs that would form some of the Black social clubs go back even closer to the time of slavery, when we had to put money together for hospitalizations, for funeral,
okay.
For things, even for helping someone pay their rent.
Okay, so help the community, help social issues, everything.
It was a community social net to help financially, medically, and socially, yes.
Wow.
And many of the crews today and the non-Zulu type of crews, they're also benevolent organizations, but they're also civic organizations, and but right now, it's basically about business networking, a lot of it.
Now, I mean, out of all the towns in Louisiana, they chose to start it in New Orleans. Now, because I've heard, I mean, everything there, including the building design, the culture, food is Creole culture?
Correct. Yeah, New Orleans is a state of Creole culture where the southwest, just west of New Orleans, southeast and just west of New Orleans is called Creole, probably Cajun country.
Mm-hmm.
But Creoles and Cajuns, they live right next door to one.
Okay, so they're just like, bam, commitment is really pretty tight.
Right, yeah, they're neighboring communities. The difference between them culturally is that Cajuns came down from Acadia, which is the area of Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, that area. They came down from Canada,
okay.
From Acadia. And the Creoles came to Louisiana from France. They either came directly from France to the Caribbean. Basically, France to the Caribbean, they're Creole. And the Creole, when they say to the Caribbean, Creole, today really means a blend of races. It's African, Native American, and French culture combined, in fact, an embodiment of the same people.
Okay.
However, Creole has two meanings. It's kind of complex, the meaning Creole. But Creole really is the genealogist, amateur genealogist, I'm the family genealogist because I have to help do the family chart because my father had Alma Indian lineage, and we had to document it. But in the process, it lit the fire for me to do history research along with the name. And I learned that the old definition upon the census of Creole really meant born in the colony.
Ah.
And therefore acclimated to the language of the dialect, to the culture, to the heat, and to the food. For example, in African, even though they had some of the slaves, if they were born here, if they came here as Africans, they were classified African. A Frenchman, if he came here from France, he would be classified as a Frenchman. But the children, all of them, the African's children or the French's children, if they're born in the colony, they're called Creole.
Wow.
Which means they're acclimated to, are indigenous to the land that, you know, as the transplant.
So basically, and as far as the land, as far as the Gulf waters, and, you know, having seafood and basically seasonings from plants and here, you took everything from the land and incorporated with the food, with your food styles.
Yes, definitely. It is Creole. It's really a specific cuisine. It's actually a world-class cuisine. I remember in the 80s when people were touting regional American cuisine, I started to think that just, you know, the only really established cuisine, rather than food style, is in New Orleans. It was the Creole cuisine. It's a world-class cuisine because it's known throughout the world.
Sure.
And it's been established over hundreds of years, and the recipes are pretty much the same, and some of them, they haven't given a modern presentation, but they're pretty much the same. In fact, I have a friend of mine who owns some restaurants, Sticky Mills Gourmet in Boston, he's a close friend of mine. Whenever I go from Boston, California, when I was out there teaching and working, whenever I come to the weekend, they ask me to come back, bring my mother's crawfish bits, because they don't make it that way anymore in France, but that is the original recipe.
Wow.
The crawfish bits model for the lobster a la Mauritania, lobster a la American, the lobster that's baked with Creole with tomato sauce.
Wow.
Tomato was not indigenous to Europe until the colonial period.
Wow. Now,
so Creole is really old French, African, Native American recipes. It's kind of a merging. Our cuisine is a result of cultural cross-pollination, the result of trade.
Wow. Now, in the 1990s, the invention of the Pauline Connection, the restaurant there.
Yes.
How did that start? I mean, as far as the, I know the two owners, the two owners are Curtis Moore Jr. and Cecil Kegler. So those are the owners. So how did all three guys, you know, come together and start the restaurant and get it going? Or how did that start there in New Orleans?
You know, that's a very interesting story for me because I joined them about a month or maybe a couple of weeks after they opened.
Mm-hmm.
I used to perform at Cafe Brazil as a poet and playwright and musician. I used to play congas. I used to perform there. And so I came out of Cafe Brazil, which was across the street from the Pauline Connection. And before they opened, it was a bank here, and the bank had become a pool hall.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been empty for so long, and I started that location because it's such a prime corner location. And then when finally I saw that Curtis and Cecil had opened up the Pauline Connection, had been open several weeks, I just came over and said hello because I knew it was a fantastic location.
Right. As they say, location.
It really is. And also, they helped to develop Franklin Street as a destination, tourist destination point. At that time, there were three places. There was Cafe Brazil, there was Snug Harbor, and the Pauline Connection. And it's also see that made Franklin Street a place to visit. And what I like to say about Franklin Street is just one block behind the French Quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I see that Franklin Street is for travelers, Bourbon Street is for tourists. Franklin Street is in the Pueblo Marini. It's the neighborhood.
Well, so so when you say Prince Street, it is like in New York they have Manhattan or Brooklyn, or so that would be Frenchman Street in New Orleans?
Frenchman Street would be somewhere in Brooklyn. It would be Williamsburg 20 years ago before it became a very expensive place. But Williamsburg was a very bohemian place.
Okay.
Where it was mostly, it was working people.
Ah.
And it became cheap because as the village in New York and the West Coast became expensive, it spilled over from the village to the East Village, which was less expensive, and that became expensive, and it went across the bridge into Brooklyn. And some of irony is like that through the French Quarter. It's the less expensive part, but it's still close to the heart of town.
Ah, so you can still enjoy, as far as the vibe of the city and downtown and the food and the culture and everything.
Exactly. So Esplanade Avenue starts the Marigny and French Street, and we're just a block away from Esplanade. Esplanade starts the French Quarter, and so if you can throw a stone into the French Quarter, that's how close we are.
So basically, you guys met in 1990, and you happened to walk by, and you just kind of walked into the restaurant.
Yes, I walked in and I saw the menu. I saw the menu items was really very interesting and outstanding. And I suggested that I asked Curtis to bring me on as a consultant, because I was also teaching for a while at California Culinary Academy and doing menu planning and design and restaurant service and stuff. I said, well, I'd like to look at the menu and design it because it's more like a family menu.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to be assist in the service is what I call site-specific training. I mean, to be on site to not only train the wait staff, but to be a role and behavior model because so they can internalize the training because I knew they had a great product. And I wanted to be a part of it.
Wow.
So I kind of finagled my way in as a consultant, quote unquote, but I just wanted to be part of something that was
wow. Really so really, you can just say nice walk. Nice walk.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
What? I always say, I just help find, my job is to find food. I can't take any credit. It's awesome. In fact, I was putting some Creole items on the menu when we and Curtis reminded me, said, no, we want to keep the focus. We want to be friendly.
We're just going to go right back to Mardi Gras that's going on now and talk to Harold more about the Parlene connection. We're going back. We've got to go back. All right.
And then I realized it's brilliant because he made a theme. He wanted to stay the course, and the music also reinforces the theme. It's for a uniform with the fedora, black hat, and the ties and shirt. I found that was brilliant, but I just wanted to be part of it.
Right. The fine tune is wow. Now, Curtis Moore Jr., they come from cooking backgrounds?
Of course. They were partners in the place called Loretta's Parlene.
Mm-hmm.
And they were making Parlenes and they were also cooking. And so when they decided to do this restaurant, they called it Parlene Connection because they were already connected to the Parlene story.
Now, you had mentioned that they were cooking Parlene, so, and your restaurant is called the Parlene Connection. What does the word Parlene mean? Can you get to my
Absolutely. Parlene is, it's a French term. It's a type of a candy. It's a soft boil candy where you boil the candy with some water, and the old recipes we boil it with brown sugar. You can do it with white sugar, or you can do it light up or brown. It depends what you're aiming for. So we boil the sugar with water, and then you can add to it nuts like pecans. But when I was a kid, and we put on the butter sheet, and when the candy gets soft to a soft boil, we lay it out on the sheet and it crystallizes and it becomes a candy. As kids, I used to like the peanut butter. When we were old enough to go wake up the stove, our parents let us make it. It was so easy to make that kids would make it, and we put peanut butter saline, you know. So you can do pecans, you can do hazelnut, you can do chocolate, coconut.
Wow, so basically, like, growing up, we did lemonade stands. There in Louisiana, there was Pauline stands.
True. And I don't see it anywhere except in New Orleans area, and it's outskirts.
Wow, so, when they started when they had the Pauline Connection, and they wanted to have, as far as a Creole Cajun food, now, you know, outside of Louisiana, I know some foods, gumbo, jambalaya, and, as far as the breakdown of gumbo, what is the concept of gumbo? The whole idea of gumbo and everything.
Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's the place to start the conversation about Louisiana cooking. Because gumbo is like the people. It's from an influence, and a gumbo is gumbo actually itself is what it's called. It's basically a ragu or stew. And I remember I took at some old cookbooks and museums in New Orleans menus. And there was some restaurants that had as many as 17 different types of gumbo.
No way.
Yeah, but the traditional gumbo is the most well-known. It's the Sifu gumbo or the Fili gumbo and the Andouille gumbo. Some say chicken andouille, but for me, it's chicken andouille is more recent. When I grew up, around Christmas time or Thanksgiving, when we baked the turkey and stuffed it with cornbread mustard stuffing, in particular Louisiana. Without seasoning, which is bell pepper, onion, green onions, which they call shallots, et cetera. And, after we'd eaten the turkey, my aunt used to debate with my mother over who's going to have the carcass. We take the turkey carcass and we make a gumbo with it. We put that in with the seasoning, to extract the juices as a stock, but we left the bones in it. Then we put in some sausages. We put in crab. We put in order that it's cooked. We put in some crab. We put in sausages. You can put in okra. And at the last minute, shrimp. And at the last minute, you put the oysters.
So
the gumbo. Yeah, and then we put some fili powder, which is ground fast fried in time. The fili powder came from the Native American Indians, the Choctaws from the area. The okra itself came from West Africa. In fact, the slaves had them in their hair. To bring to them, because they knew where they were going, they would not be food that they were. So the okra seeds, the yam seeds, all of that came from Africa with the slaves that they've hidden. And so, but gumbo itself is interesting, because gumbo is the name of the okra in the dish. It's not the name of the dish traditionally in Africa.
Ah.
Yes,
okay, say that again. You said it's the name of the...
It's the African Senegalese and West African name called okra, gumbo, G-O-M-B-O.
Ah, okay.
Now we call it G-U-M-B-O. And I suspect that during the colonial period, the Frenchmen saw the slaves or the people, or whatever they were at the time, you saw the people of color eating that dish.
And they were like, hey, let's go over there and find out what that is. Let's go see what that is.
Right, and he pointed to the dish, but what he pointed is finger landed on this particular item in the dish. And he said, what's that? And they said, gumbo. But he was touching the okra.
And the rest is just... Wow. So, I was looking at this metaphor, and it said gumbo metaphor is... So all the cultures that exist in Louisiana is gumbo. Like French, Spanish, Native tribe, Native American, African, Italian, German, everything is a metaphor for gumbo.
And what's beautiful about it, they're all infused together, all closely linked and closely related. When you watch Louisiana cooking, you don't see one food sitting isolated apart from one, you don't see the items in the dish. Standing off, isolated by itself.
Mm-hmm.
All for a closer, all cooked.
Yes.
And it's like the people, because we have several, the schools in Louisiana, we have African blood with one saying the first shipment of plate and from Senegal to Zambia. And they ran into the swamp and hooked up with the Indians, the Choctaws, et cetera, and the Indians took them in. And it made them fierce as fighters. And that's why Mardi Gras, when they dress Indians, they're actually celebrating that connection with the Indians that helped them when they were Malone, when they ran away.
Wow.
Wow.
And so much tradition, you know.
Yes.
Now, I remember the Parliament.
They intermarried, and whatever, like this on Facebook. They intermarried, and then they all intermarried with French. And we ended up with three lines running through us, red, white, and African.
Wow.
And a stumble.
So, really?
On a Mediterranean stew. French Mediterranean stew with African ingredients and Native American seasoning.
Basically, if you went to somebody's house and they say, hey, we make gumbo this way, so probably their culture or is it just when people are being inventive and they're trying different ways of gumbo, or is it that their culture is more, coming out more in the dishes of gumbo, you know?
We call it gumbo, but it's a ragu. Or a stew, and the culture comes out in what they're cooking. The culture comes out in the cooking.
Like if you go to, I guess, a Cajun country in southwest Louisiana, they have a certain way of cooking gumbo too?
Yes, because they will put more sauce, and they put more emphasis on the andouille, because they make andouille out there. The Cajun country is very excellent charcuterie, sausages of all sorts, and rice and crawfish, because that is what's most indigenous to the land that they're on.
Wow. So, because I heard that like Creole gumbo, they use tomatoes, and Cajun foods, they do not use tomatoes.
I believe that is so. I believe that is so. But well, remember, well, in Louisiana, we say now they stumble different from house to house. It's true. Some Creoles do, but some Creoles don't use tomato in their gumbo.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like the Creoles that have more Cajun blood than French blood. You know what I mean? So it's so interconnected. It's really hard to separate them, but we accept the differences. The case in point, I was opening a restaurant in Boston. We were cooking a gumbo, and one cook was from Kentucky who had worked in Louisiana. I hired him. And he said, one day, he said, Louis, and he said, look, he said, Al, we don't have green brown pepper for the gumbo. I said, well, use the red. And he said, you know, in Louisiana, we don't put nothing red in the gumbo. And I said, Louis, in Louisiana, the gumbo is different from house to house.
Uh-huh.
He took off his apron, he threw it on the floor, and he said, that's it, I quit.
That's taking off. See, now, that's different now. In Louisiana, food is taken to heart there. I noticed it.
Yeah. As
you were talking about in Thanksgiving, how there's like a stare down. It's on a flip. It's a stare down between who gets the turkey. So you guys take food to heart there, I noticed.
Yes, that's right. And it was so funny. I love telling that story. You said, that's it, I quit. But he came back 3 days later, and I didn't say anything to him. I said, Louis, you want to come back? He said, yeah. I said, come on back.
So how does it work out? Did he have the ingredients in, or did he have his, or
what? Well, he hit that when he came back, when he checked, when he looked at his PayPal.
Some senses came through. Some senses, yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, the Parlin Connection, now, I heard those guys, they started out as a home delivery service for career women that were busy.
That's right. That was the original intent.
Okay.
And then they
just kind of went into a full-fledged restaurant.
Yeah, we went with they went with the flow of what was in front of them. But the takeout is still very popular. We do lots of takeout, lots of it. Yeah.
Wow. So basically, if I was coming in, they can. So at the different hotels, somebody can call in and order from the restaurant. And deliver?
Absolutely.
Man, I wish you were ahead to know.
In large quantities, we'll deliver, but if their neighbors will actually pick it up.
Wow. That's just... Wow. Now, you have to tell us about another dish I hear. It's, did I hear, jambalaya.
Jambalaya, yes, again. But that, jambalaya and gumbo, they're side to side in terms of the cultural cross-pollination.
Mm-hmm.
Jambalaya originates from the, because it has ham in it, originates from the Spanish word jamón, or in French is jambon, which
mm-hmm.
means ham. And it's actually, jambalaya is Louisiana version of paella.
Ah, what's paella?
Paella,
okay.
They cook in a broad pan, paella, and they cook with rice and saffron and shrimp and langoustine and ham, whatever they have. They put it all in the paella and cheese and such. And I believe that, I know the standard paella, but I believe there's also interpretations from housing, from regions in Spain. And jambalaya is the same way. Jambalaya, you have freedom to put whatever ingredients you might be cleaning out the refrigerator with. But it's not, you know, it's not a dish that really seems lowly, but we can put everything we want into it because it's the right dish that has ham and fish and shellfish.
Wow.
And again, that's the Louisiana version of the paella. And some say it's an African word for rice. I'm not sure. It's not Native American. But the whole name of this is a kind of its own individual copyrighted name. It's not a name that existed before colonial times.
Okay.
For the dish.
Just the richness of the food and just the different ingredients. Now, I know there's a Pauline connection. You guys had a lot of movie stars and actors and playwrights have visited the Pauline connection. Now, you guys, so basically the restaurant's open on the regular hours and all of a sudden, Oliver Stone shows up out of nowhere?
Yes, that's right. That's right. Because remember, we also, it's a beautiful street. It's a bohemian street, and the people that like to go off the beaten path, the celebrities often, they don't want to go from scene place to scene place because they just want to be normal people, you know? And this area is a place to be a normal person.
Right, without pictures and press. And now, you have to tell me a couple stories of how different celebrities come. You got to tell some stories. Some celebrities that come there. You got to tell us.
I would love to tell you the stories about celebrities, but I'm going to be honest, I'm out of town a lot. I did consulting.
Oh, okay.
And I come back and forth. I can take whoever I met in New York because I've been working there recently since Katrina. But you would have to speak to Chris Moore and Glory Moore and speak to the owners because they are here all the time and they need the celebrities.
So when you come back in from consulting and everything, from they come and say, guess what happened? They kind of like that?
Yeah, well, you know, I did meet a lot of celebrities when I came back after Katrina. I came back to help out when they were trying to, when everybody was trying to get it together.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people from all over the world. There were, Henry Louis Gates, and everyone who's involved in activism was here.
Let's go!
Conversations with the Pauline connection in New Orleans, and learning a lot about New Orleans. Most people when they go down there, they go down there to have a great time, eat great food, but just hearing the traditions and the history
about the food and the restaurant. It's interesting, you know. So we're going to go back and hear Harold talk more about Creole and Cajun traditions, food traditions.
It was interesting that we get the message out that New Orleans desperately needs to build.
Right. So Katrina is like just a cause of helping everybody. Yes.
True. All the academia, activism, political activism,
yes.
Politicians,
yes.
Students from all over the country, all over the world, and what warmed our hearts, the way they came in. The students warmed our hearts more than the government did, because they really even they donated their time, they got in first and helped us to rebuild. And so the Proudly Connection during that time became a real family, again, extended family for everybody, for students from away, and a place for the politicians to feel comfortable, because everybody in New Orleans is community. We don't broadcast movie stars, if you know what I mean.
Yes. So it's like, hey.
We have a belief that everyone is gifted.
Yes, that's true.
We gifted everyone gifted. So it's a good place to be comfortable.
And it's good that you treat people like, hey, when you come here, your family, you know, have some jambalaya, just relax, no pressure, just relax.
Absolutely. In fact, New Orleans is known throughout the country and probably worldwide for feeding you. Everyone knows when you go to New Orleans, they'll feed you.
Yes, and that's why when Mardi Gras happens, it's like Mardi Gras over the world. You know, here in Hampton Roads, we're having Mardi Gras parties here. You know, so it's this tradition. Everybody likes this tradition of just being, happy, having fun, and with the different color beads, or the purple, green, and gold beads flying everywhere. Everybody likes this feeling. You know, me too. Everybody. You know.
Yeah. And what I like about it being a citizen hospitality instructor, I think they are a good example, New Orleanians, of the Greek term, which I often use in training for hospitality, called philosthenia. It means to show love and friendship to the unknown person, someone you just met.
Wow.
Showing friendship.
Wow.
You know? And that is true about New Orleans. We're fascinated with the tourists that come away, because I remember as a teenager growing up here, working in the French Quarter restaurant, I was fascinated to meet people from all over, even if they live here, have you come all this way to see us?
So
we look at it.
Yeah, because out here it's like, it's cool out here, outside of Louisiana, but this just can be something, everybody, we're a competitive country, and, so it's cool that we, in America, there's all different cultures, and Louisiana, New Orleans shows that, it just kind of reminds us that, hey, we're here to get along and learn eat different foods, and, that's what it reminds us that,
That's right, and we can agree to disagree.
Yes.
We value friendship over political debate.
Ah. Now, I have asked a couple questions before for our interview. Just for some words of her, you can give some, your opinion about it, your thoughts about it. Tell us about the Zydeco band.
Oh, Zydeco.
Yeah, Zydeco. I pronounced that right, Zydeco.
Yeah, Zydeco, that's right. Zydeco is a French term for a Creole term. Real Creole, not French. So it's a Creole term for the French word Zydeco, which means green beans, or beans, les Zydeco. So Zydeco is a creolization of the term Zydeco, means Zydeco. It's based on an old Creole song. The Creoles are what we call the Cajuns. The Zydeco people are what you call Black Cajuns.
Mm.
Therefore, the Creoles living in Cajun country around Appaloosa, Lafayette, Mamou, on the far outskirts of New Orleans, and they were more immersed in true Cajun culture as opposed to French from France culture.
Mm. Mm.
Okay. And they have a close affinity, and they play more that style. They play with fiddles, well, we play trumpets and clarinets, and because it goes to classical Europe, New Orleans, they are close to the rustic parts of France, and they use fiddles and such.
Yes, and boards and everything, because you hear it everywhere, Yes.
And so Zydeco is the Black Cajun music of Louisiana.
Oh.
Now everyone plays it, but it started out with the Black Cajuns, such as Amadé Ardoin, Boisset Ardoin, and I'm going back decades upon decades. They were the Amadei Adouin was considered the Black Orpheus of Louisiana. If you get a chance to hear his music, A-R-D-O-I-N. And the white Cajuns would listen to the music, and they borrowed from each other. We would Africanize the music, the Cajun songs. We would Africanize them, the Cajun ballads.
Yeah, because when you hear in Louisiana, you always hear the trombone and the trumpet and just everything, you know.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of gumbo. Music style.
Gumbo.
Music style.
Music.
You know?
It is true.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Yeah.
When I left New Orleans, and I used to play with musicians from the Caribbean and from all over, and Cuba and everywhere, they said, man, how come you can play like us and with us? And I said, because in New Orleans, I heard that sound in one form or another in New Orleans.
Hmm.
And I was listening to a snare drummer playing in the brass band across the street a few days ago.
Yeah.
I heard him play, and I said, oh, he's playing guamoco out of Cuba.
Yeah.
Kansas.
Right.
And he went, I said, now he's playing rumba.
Yeah.
Out of Nigeria.
Yeah.
My goodness.
That's what I compare it to, you know. Wow.
And he never left town.
Wow. Wow.
And that's the music and that's the food. And it's the convergence of all those cultures that have touched us.
Wow.
As a result of trade.
Wow.
And we've honed it over 300 years.
Thank
and
you.
It's grandmother's recipes and grandfather's music.
Incredible. Now, wow, we are here with Harold Kassab, he's the family hospitality consultant for the Pauline Connection. Can you tell us a little bit more, like how we can reach the Pauline Connection and everything, and
yes,
where to find?
Yes, we have a website. It's the Pauline Connection website, paulineconnection.com. We're located at 542 Frenchman Street in New Orleans. It's just one block behind the French Quarter.
Okay.
542 Frenchman. The telephone is 943-3934.
That's
504-943-3934. But, we're a casual place. You can walk in any time and get a seat, even though we get busy. The wait is rarely, when we're busy, it's rarely over 15, 20 minutes wait.
Okay, now, can we order,
can
we order different seasoning from there, or different, they're trade seekers, I know they have, they want to keep it, but can you reorder different seasonings, or spices?
Yes, our seasoning, absolutely, they're online at the PralineConnection.com,
mm-hmm.
You can order online and we ship to you, we Praline as well, we have, the regular pralines, pecan pralines, we'll have coconut, we'll have chocolate, we'll have rum, so we have a variety of them, and we ship worldwide. In fact, we do a lot of shipping.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that you guys have a candy store at the airport there, at the New Orleans airport. So.
And pralines like Dumbo, it's really hard to duplicate property outside of New Orleans, because the cooking is not just recipe. It's not just ingredients, it's technique and observation,
mm.
and culture.
Well, I heard that, because my family, too, from when I was raised, from a family from Caribbeans and American, from Florida, different types of foods, some of the foods that we made, we had let it simmer on the stove so the flavor can come out of it. And I heard a lot of the foods there, the Creole foods and Cajun foods, the goal is to let the flavor come out of the dish.
Absolutely. The food is better the next day when the flavors start to marinate up nicely by cooling down and marinating overnight. They're much better the next day. You just start everything. Anything that's stewed or ragu is better the next day. Wow. Oh, but anyway, I forgot this. Okay, I went up on a tangent. To answer your question about Zydeco, is a song by Christian Spinier, C-H-E-N-I-E-R. He's considered the Zydeco Elvis of the Bayou. They call him King of Zydeco. There's a song called Zydeco Pasale, slapping not too salty. And it was a song of the poor practice. It said, we have beans, but we don't have enough to put the salt pork in it to season it.
Hmm.
and it's the way they sing about the circumstances.
And the music, wow. Because yeah, I know, like, jazz comes from, because there's lots of jazz in New Orleans, and lots of, you know, just culture and music there comes from New Orleans, you know?
And jazz is a fusion. Jazz is a West African term which means to make love, or to stretch it out and to correct it. And if you listen to the music with those third tones in the jazz, New Orleans jazz, music is correct, it's stretched. And we treat the food the same way.
Wow. This great. Wow. Well, Harold, Tristan, thank you for being on our show on Flavor Living Radio. Man, I could just learn the different cultures. All, you know, people don't know. We go to, a lot of people, they go to New Orleans to the Mardi Gras. They're going there to celebrate and just have a great time. That's what it's about. But just knowing about the culture and the food, and that's another area, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. So, do you want to say anything to people who are listening, who are Creole or Cajun, or?
You know, when you said you were going to interview me, I took the opportunity to do some research to make sure that things I say were accurate, because, you know, some things you just learn from hearing from one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then thinking about it and looking at it, I just realized that all the Creoles in Louisiana are so Creole Cajun, they're all interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of a club, a Creole club in the 7th Ward, around Mardi Gras, and we danced in the street, and everyone was just dancing second line in front of the club. And the name of the club was called Amis Inseparables, Inseparable Friends.
Wow.
And that's our food.
Wow. Yes, that is New Orleans and Louisiana as a whole. Wow.
Yes.
Thank you for being on our show, man. This incredible information and
right.
And everything. And I have to get down there, you know, so to learn. You hear people, I was also doing some studying, and they were talking about how different television shows, they emulate the Louisiana accents, the Creole and Cajun accents from different shows, you know, and they're like, that doesn't sound like us. That sounds like us, that doesn't sound like us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So do you do the same thing on the different accents you hear on TV and everything?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we watch some people even cook Creole and Cajun food and some chefs, and we say, they're not from around here.
Like national chefs.
Yes. But, you know, we forgive them, you know.
Yeah.
As long as they love us, we show them love back.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here, I'm going to make my attempt to do it here, too, in Hampton Roads, Virginia, in Virginia. So, this time, y'all just kind of let me slide, if you can.
Well, I hope we become friends as well. I mean, I feel we've made friendship. But,
yes.
You know, we're, again, we wanted to the place of family and community, and you're in the community now.
Yes, well, cool. Well, thank you. Come on.
Yeah,
well, we're here, you know, the Pauline Connection. Make sure everybody visits their website and their location while they're at Mardi Gras, which is going on right now. So, thank you.
Yeah, that's one block behind the fifth quarter.
Well,
thank you again, Brian.
Yes, thank you, man. All right.
Okay, and happy Mardi Gras to everyone.
Okay, man.
Bye. Forgot to tell you that you were listening to the Broussard Brothers, because the young man on the road board happens to be the young
we're
man
back.
Brother.
That was our travel. We traveled and talked with Harold Tressent there in New Orleans, there at the Richmond Street. And we just kind of wanted to show, I learned to show everybody about just the cooking and the style and the culture. And, you know, thank you for listening to Flavor Living Radio. Tune in next week while we'll have more good food stories, and drive safe and eat well. We'll be right back.
that business. Somebody took a look at that business. You hear that?